Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Men Without Work Post-Pandemic Edition is a nonfiction work by Nicholas Eberstadt that examines the long decline in labor force participation among American men and argues that the problem is larger than conventional unemployment statistics suggest. The book belongs to social policy and political economy rather than memoir or narrative nonfiction. And its purpose is analytical to explain why many working-age men have left paid work, why standard economic explanations are incomplete, and how public policy can sometimes worsen the problem. This 2022 edition updates Eberstadt's earlier study with a post-pandemic lens, emphasizing how COVID-era shutdowns and expanded benefits may have reinforced withdrawal from work for some men. The book is aimed at readers interested in labor markets, family stability, public policy, demographic change, and the cultural meaning of work. Its central concern is not only why work declined, but what that decline means for civic life, economic productivity, and social cohesion in modern America. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book treats worklessness as a deeper problem than unemployment. A central argument in the book is that the men it studies are not simply unemployed in the usual sense. They are often outside the labor force altogether, meaning they are not actively looking for work and therefore do not appear fully in standard jobless statistics. Eberstadt uses this distinction to show why headline unemployment rates can give a misleadingly optimistic picture of labor market health. The book argues that this hidden withdrawal from work is important because it signals a durable social and behavioral change, not just a temporary lack of jobs. By focusing on worklessness, the book shifts attention from cyclical job shortages to a long-term detachment from employment. That framing is one of its most important contributions, because it changes the policy question from how to reduce unemployment to how to restore labor force attachment among men who have already disengaged. Secondly, the decline of male labor force participation is presented as a long historical trend. Eberstadt places the current crisis in a broad historical context, showing that the retreat from work did not begin with COVID-19. The book tracks the long downward movement in labor force participation among American men across decades and treats the pandemic as an accelerant rather than the original cause. This historical framing matters because it prevents readers from reducing the problem to a single policy mistake or a short-term shock. Instead, the book presents the decline as a cumulative process shaped by changes in labor demand, education, family structure, social norms, disability systems, and the meaning of adulthood. That approach gives the book its diagnostic power. It argues that a serious labor market problem can remain invisible if it is measured only by unemployment rates and not by participation patterns over time. The result is a portrait of gradual erosion rather than sudden collapse. Thirdly, the post-pandemic edition argues that COVID policy worsened incentives to work. The updated edition gives special attention to the way pandemic-era policy may have deepened pre-existing labor withdrawal. Eberstadt argues that broad shutdowns and unusually generous or extended benefits could have made it easier for some men to remain out of work, even after immediate health restrictions eased. This argument does not claim that every labor force departure was caused by government policy, but it does insist that policy can shape behavior in powerful ways when it changes the balance between work and non-work. The book uses the pandemic as a case study in unintended consequences. Measures designed to provide security during crisis may also have weakened the practical and psychological incentives to return to employment. That makes the book relevant beyond the pandemic itself, because it highlights how emergency policy can leave lasting effects on work habits, employer relationships, and expectations about dependence on government support. Fourthly, Eberstadt challenges the idea that education alone can solve the problem. Another major theme is the book's skepticism towards simple human capital explanations. A common view is that men left work because employers stopped needing less educated labor and because these men lacked the skills demanded by the modern economy. Eberstadt does not deny that education and skill mismatch matter, but he argues that this explanation is incomplete. The book contends that labor market disengagement also reflects cultural habits, changing aspirations, policy design, and social isolation, which means that more schooling by itself will not necessarily pull men back into stable employment. This matters because it broadens the policy debate. If the problem is only skill deficiency, then training is the obvious fix. If the problem is also work detachment, then the response must include incentives, institutions, and social norms that make participation more likely. The book therefore pushes readers to think more critically about the limits of standard economic remedies. Lastly, the book links male work withdrawal to wider social and civic consequences. Eberstadt does not treat labor force decline as an isolated economic statistic. He presents it as a symptom of broader social fragility, with consequences for families, community life, self-support, and civic participation. Work is portrayed not only as a source of income, but also as a structure that connects people to responsibility, routine, and public life. When large numbers of men leave that structure, the effects can spread outward: weaker family formation, reduced intergenerational stability, lower tax productivity, and greater dependence on public systems. The book is therefore concerned with more than labor economics. It asks, what happens to a society when a significant share of prime-age men become detached from work for long periods? That wider lens gives the book significance for readers interested in social order, masculinity, and the long-term health of democratic society. It also explains why the book has attracted attention from policymakers and commentators beyond economics. In conclusion, Men Without Work Post-Pandemic Edition is best suited for readers who want a serious, policy-minded analysis of labor force decline rather than a general discussion of the economy. Policymakers, economists, sociologists, and readers concerned with family stability or civic decline will find it especially useful. But it also rewards anyone trying to understand why official unemployment measures can miss deeper forms of disengagement. The book's practical value lies in its insistence that worklessness is not the same as joblessness, and that incentives, institutions, and culture all matter in shaping whether people remain attached to employment. Intellectually, it stands out because it combines long-run demographic analysis with a sharp post-pandemic update, showing how COVID-era policy may have reinforced older patterns instead of creating new ones from scratch. Compared with books that focus only on wages, automation, or education, this one is distinctive for its attention to non-participation itself. It is a focused, argument-driven study that treats work as a social institution, not just an economic variable. If you would like to support Nicholas Eberstadt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.